That was Bill O'Brien discussing some of the end-of-game clock management, overall game management decisions that continue to plague this team and this coaching staff. We want to examine if Deshaun Watson maybe had an issue with the decision at the end of the game, second-to-last drive, to not go for it on 4th-and-1. They failed on 3rd-and-1, as you all know. They kicked the field goal on 4th-and-1. Here is Deshaun Watson with his thoughts on that sequence.
Can't give Tom Brady the ball back with that much time, and we'll learn from it.
I do not think that is a criticism of the coaching staff. I think that's just a general thought that like they should have gotten the first down either on 1st, 2nd, or 3rd down in that spot. That's how I read that. I don't think that was any criticism of the head coach.
Yeah, I don't either.
I think that he's looking at it and saying, basically, we have to find a way to convert on 3rd-and-1 in that situation.
Yeah, there were a few things. The most interesting thing to me was J.J. Watt on the sideline after the timeout fiasco. Watching the defensive players
watching
the players on that. Like, that was just, to watch you just, man, that feels like, you don't want to think this way, but it just feels like, oh, the same old bleep. This is just the same old bleep. What the hell's going on? I don't, like, at some point, you got to think players in the locker room start to wonder if Bill O'Brien knows what the hell he's doing when it comes to running an offense.
Yes.
Because it's like too much of this over and over again.
I would say just running a game.
Yeah.
Like being able to coach game.
Yeah, as far as some of those decisions.
Yeah.
It feels like Keystone Cops at times with some of the silliness that happens. And it's year four. There's no more, hey, you're rookie head coach. Hey, it's different in the NFL than it was in college. It's your fourth-year head coach who decided to be the offensive coordinator this year, too. Let's think about the pitfalls of being the offensive coordinator and the head coach. Sometimes things like game management fall by the wayside, and game management wasn't all that great to begin with. Let's clean this up. How about we clean this up at some point? Romeo Crennel, how about you help out with your assistant head coach? I don't know what the hell's going on. Can I see Romeo Crennel on the sideline? I guess that would be too embarrassing, though, to have Romeo Crennel like actually literally looking over his shoulder. Like looking over his shoulder with a red pen to like mark off mistakes he made.
I don't know if Romeo's taller than Bill is the thing.
Got an incredible
Seth
physique, though.
Do you remember
a powerful physique?
Do you remember when O'Brien on a coach's show last year on a Monday went into with John and Mark about how when it comes to critiques of game management, sometimes the fans like and the media didn't really have all the information at their disposal, and there are a lot of different things going on the sideline. I would like to know what those things are because, man, this is a big, big picture issue. Like, sorry to use two of the same words in a row, but like, okay. We mentioned last week, you and I both, I think Bill O'Brien is a good overall head coach with some very big weaknesses that I'm just not quite sure he can overcome. One weakness is I'm not quite sure that his offense works at the NFL level, although I was encouraged by what I saw on Sunday, certainly.
His offense works at the NFL level if you actually execute the offense and have a good quarterback.
In a pristine way.
Yeah.
Yes. But the game management continues to be bottom five in the NFL, and I just genuinely don't understand what it is that we're missing. If you play Madden, even if you just watch football and fans watch in general a decent or a lot amount of football, then you get the ball back with one timeout with 15, 20 seconds to go. It's an obvious thing. If you complete the ball in bounds and it's too far for you to quickly spike the football, you call timeout.
Right.
And what's incredible to me is these guys spend all day working on that, and I can just sit there on a Sunday and be like, timeout. Like,
but in this instance, though, he's expecting Deshaun Watson to call the timeout, and that's where the communication broke down. And so that's where, I mean, he's protecting his quarterback because he's expecting Deshaun Watson to call the timeout, and that's where he's angrily defending his quarterback by not actually saying anything at all, I think. But that goes back to the root of the problem, which is, It's one thing to draw it up, and it's one thing to have a plan, but it's another thing to actually get your players to execute. And you watch any NFL game, and just watch all the crossing action. Watch the Patriots versus the Texans, where Jonathan Joseph's getting picked off by his own safety because you've got all this glorious these route combos that spring guys wide open. You don't see it with the Texans because they apparently can't coach these guys to do it. It's not that Bill O'Brien doesn't know how to do it, but apparently they can't coach them to do it, just like they can't coach offensive linemen to be good pass blockers. I don't know where the disconnect is, but they continually can't get the chalkboard to translate to the football field. And that's what flat out coaching is, and he doesn't get it done.
Why in the hell should he expect Watson to do it?
Because you're in the headset beforehand. Hey, because you're telling him beforehand exactly what goes on as soon as the ball is complete. If it's inbounds, you got to get to the, if it's inbounds and downfield, you got to call a timeout.
But it's not like there's a penalty if both of them are for calling timeout. I mean, that's just lazy as hell. He should be calling the
timeout,
too.
It's harder for the coach on the sideline to get the timeout in that situation. It's not like when before a field goal where you've got the guy pinned down right in front of you. Like, if the coach has to chase an official on the field, it's not as simple in the actual during the play.
We see coaches
like that.
Motion for timeouts all the time, though, on the sidelines.
Right, but in situations like that, you're thinking about, like, field goal situations and everything. It's harder in that situation where everybody's moving down the field.
So he can't go over to the linesman and say, hey, if we complete this, we're going
to
call timeout.
Yeah, I mean, he can, but I think it's you have to chase him down to do
it. Some people say he was signaling for a spike, too. There are some people that were in the stands.
Who, O'Brien?
We got some calls and texts and tweets that some people say O'Brien was actually very confused looking around signaling for the spike.
Well,
that's why Watson was confused.
Yeah, well, now why does – yeah, then he completely blew it. And if anything, he's selling his quarterback out by not fessing up to it. Because he's got to know, like, in that situation, there's not enough time to get up and spike the ball. If you do it, you've got to go fast. But if they had gotten up and spiked the ball, there wouldn't have been enough time, conceivably, to run a play and call a timeout.
Yes.
Like, yeah, they've got, okay, then in that case, I didn't realize there were people saying that he was calling
multiple
for the spike.
People, again, it could
if
just be
true.
Telephone tag where one person says it a lot, but a lot of people are saying that.
If that were the case, and then Deshaun Watson's confused because he's thinking, no, we should be calling a timeout. Why is Bill O'Brien calling for a spike? And likewise, now I have to go back to the preseason when they called a draw on 4th and 6 in the red zone, where I tried to think maybe they were just testing Tom Savage's in-game decision-making ability, that he should shake that play off. Maybe Bill O'Brien really was that poor of a play call that he called the draw on 4th and 6 in that situation.
Go back to the play and watch Hopkins, because that was the interesting thing to me, because if Watson knows they're going to call a timeout, Hopkins knows too, and Hopkins looks just as confused, like he's going back to the line, and he looks like he might be thinking they're going to spike it too.
Yeah.
Just go back to that last play and just watch Hopkins and Watson.
Well, I mean, I'm watching Watson run up the field as we speak right now on that play, and he's basically signaling for a spike, and then he signals for a timeout with 6 seconds to go. So I did think they got screwed out of 4 seconds in that spot. Not that it probably would have made much of a difference, but again, this kind of thing can't happen. Let's go to Jody in Magnolia real quick. Jody, good morning. Go ahead.
Yeah, I want to talk about O'Brien's clock management. This isn't the first issue that he's had, like you have been pointing out, with clock management, and I want to ask you this. Do you think it's because he's trying to do too much as being the offensive coordinator and the head coach?
I mean, your guess is basically as good as mine. I related to what Seth said about the rubber outs and the safeties kind of colliding. I can, like, this to me, no matter how good of a coach you are in the NFL or how bad of a coach you are in the NFL, stuff like this sequence with 15, 18 seconds to go, even the worst coach in the NFL should get this right. I mean, this to me should be like minimally acceptable coaching at the NFL level. That's what I feel about this.
But again, it is also when you're, because there are other situations where, look, Sean Payton isn't technically the offensive coordinator, but he runs that offense, but he still does have... Is Peyton now the offensive coordinator?
Sean, I think so.
Okay. Anyway, it's inexcusable no matter what it is. Ultimately, as the head coach, he's responsible for it. And yeah, I do believe that as a guy that's struggled with some game management things before, the fact that he just so kind of casually decided to be the offensive coordinator when there were other candidates out there, the NFL hired 7 or 8 new offensive coordinators in the league this year. I don't quite know how that was rubber stamped quite so easily, I suppose. Part of it is that you've got Romeo Crennel as the assistant head coach, and I think he actually has real responsibilities as the assistant head coach. But you go back to the Super Bowl.
Pete Carroll?
What's that?
Pete Carroll?
No, the Falcons coach, Dan Quinn.
Oh.
It wasn't Kyle Shanahan's issue there to keep calling plays, because he's the offensive coordinator. It's like telling an attack dog to attack. It's on the owner. And Dan Quinn is the owner in that instance. He's got to call off Kyle Shanahan. That was bad head coaching by Dan Quinn.
Fair.
to keep the foot on the gas there. Ideally, you've got a head coach that's making those decisions. Right now, you've got Bill O'Brien, who wasn't really all that good at making those decisions to begin with, and now he's got nobody overlooking him as he's the offensive coordinator. I would imagine we're going to have this problem again.
In the meltdown, why is Carlos Gomez such a pansy? And I also need to bring up a really, really strange sports story that is breaking on this Tuesday morning.